afternoon, evening, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour one of the broadcast here on this Friday, the 15th of March, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey. And this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And, well, I hope to have an interesting roundtable here today, folks. We're still actually making sure everyone is getting connected properly. But, well, we have Mr. Michael Gaddy joining us here tonight. Mike, hey, great to have you here. Good evening, sir. How's your day been so far?
Well, good evening, Richard. I certainly appreciate your invitation to join you this evening. I look forward to the conversation. And it's been a little rough here in Georgia. The allergies, pollen is incredible. And my allergies have been kind of kicking my butt a little bit. But other than that, I'm okay.
Yes, no, indeed. Yeah, this is the time of year for that, for sure. And, it's been a little tough for me with just trying to juggle everything at the moment. I actually have to relocate again, this time not far. You know, I'm happy where I am here in the Tampa Bay area. I'm actually on the peninsula, the St. Petersburg Peninsula there. I found something else nearby. We just had no choice. We were renting. And the owner decided to sell it to some developers. They're actually building a new city hall like on the next block. I don't know why they felt the need. The one they had was fine, but that's kind of the attitude of municipalities these days. You know, the same as the philosophy for the economy constantly expand.
And big time, Richard. You're a victim of progress.
It's a shame because, I mean, we hear about how they want to push more and more people toward permanent renters. And I can't stand these giant complexes that have, like, you know, 50 or 100 buildings in them, you know, with a bunch of units in each. And, I mean, you know, you have to walk for like 15 minutes if you want to even get out of the complex on foot. You know, that's a little, even if you're okay with an apartment type setup, I find that a little disturbing as far as the way people want to take things, you know, not just these mega cities, but corralling all of the humans into these little zones, Mike.
Well, that's right out of Agenda 2030, Richard. If you go back and look at their actual proposal, they want 200 people per acre. That's actually in the UN agenda, 200 people per acre. Well, we all know that has to be vertical. There's no way you can put 200 people in any kind of accommodation within an acre. It's, you know, with any kind of home or, you know, even RV or whatever you want to call it, there's no, even shacks, that would be almost impossible to do. So it has to be vertical. And I can tell you here in Middle Georgia, driving around, I'm seeing more and more and more of this construction with these 10, 12, 15-story buildings going up. And so I think we're following right along with that United Nations projection, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I wish I could say I see more silver lining than that. But yeah, no, I think unfortunately it's a struggle at this point. Beat the clock, because I mean it'll be harder and harder as the decades move forward for people to be homeowners of any sort of structure, even if they're paying those property taxes. And so ownership's debatable, but to have anything on your own, well, where the building isn't connected to other tenants,
right?
No matter what, yeah.
Well, but you hit the spot. You hit the nail right square on the head there, buddy. We don't own anything. You know, if, you know, people may have had their mortgage paid off for 20 years. Don't pay your property tax and see what happens. It's not your property. You're leasing it from the government.
Yes. No, I mean, that's all been a plan for. Well, I mean, I don't know. Was it ever allowed to be any different? I mean, I guess in the early days, especially in this nation, but over in Europe, I mean, you know, a lot of people have had their farms or whatever for many generations, if not longer, in some cases. But I mean, I don't know. They don't seem to have any problem taking the land away whenever they wish. So those who take control of the political infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing, and I know it's a tough subject for so many people, Richard. And by the way, if it sounds like I'm in the shower, I'm not. We're having some pretty heavy rain here. That has been their object from the very beginning. And so we have some serious problems in this country. The whole thing was laid out, and I know people get real upset at this, but people do not realize that everything that we are facing today that you want to call negative was laid out in the Constitution 234 years ago.
So, yes, perhaps prior to that, but yeah, when you hear about, well, just the era of everyone moving out to the West, you know, and then you also heard about how Hollywood got started. I mean, everyone went out there to avoid any, what, regulations, right? I mean, I think a lot of it may have been of our, what descended to our current Jewish population controlling much of Hollywood. You know, regardless, I know that, you know, that was a motive for the film industry to avoid any regulations out east. But a lot of people, you know, just going out and being able to grab a bunch of land, right? But no, I mean, it was only because they didn't get to you yet. You know, there was so much land out west, but they already had everything in place. I mean, but prior to the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, at least at the beginning with the Articles of Confederation, I mean, you might suggest that that was like the one exception, at least in this nation, that we had perhaps freedom from these usual suspect oligarchs?
Well, the one thing about the Articles of Confederation, and there's quite a few that I think that, you know, I've heard people today clamor for the things that were in the Articles of Confederation and never realizing they were there. And, you know, how many times have we heard the program about, we need term limits. You know, we've got to do something. We can't have all these career politicians. Well, that was in the Articles of Confederation. They had what Thomas Jefferson referred to as rotation. And, you know, I was talking with Scorpio earlier today, and we were talking about that very subject. And it's just that, you know, these things were laid out. They had rotation, and also under the Articles of Confederation, the central government could not tax an individual. If the central government needed money, they had to make a request from each state and to divide up their requisition. They say they needed $1 million and they had 13 states. Well, then they would divide it up by population as to how much each state owed towards that central debt. And then it was up to the states to secure that money. However they went about it, you know, that was in the states. But there was no federal income tax. There was no direct taxation on an individual. And yes, there were some problems that should have been ironed out with the, you know, with some amendments, and those amendments were actually proposed to the Congress under the Articles of Confederation, and it was the Congress at that time was controlled by those we call Federalists, who I call monarchists, who didn't want anything to do with that. They wouldn't even look at the amendments because they had a new convention planned. And so therefore, they weren't going to address. And then ironically, what did the Congress give the power to the people to do at that convention? Amend the Articles of Confederation. No one was sent there with the authority to write a new document. But they planned to do it. If you read the letters between James Madison, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, if you read those letters, they planned to create an entire new constitution and to dump the Articles of Confederation, which, folks, regardless of how you want to look at it, was a crime because they were avoiding the law. They were breaking the law because Article 13 said that they could never get together for any kind of, unless every state was there. Rhode Island wasn't there from the very beginning. Rhode Island wouldn't even send delegates. So from the very beginning, the Constitutional Convention was not legal. And even the Pennsylvania Assembly stated that the delegates that they sent to the convention violated their authority. And they acted on their own. And they were not representing the people of Pennsylvania. So that also made it illegal. And then, of course, let's not forget the letter in April, just a month before the convention, from George Washington to John Jay. And he says, you know, what we're about to do here may not be legal. But it didn't slow him down, and he did it.
Not at all. Not at all. So, yeah, I mean, if you can't get everyone on board, just disregard those requirements. Why am I not surprised? So, yeah. So what you can't get worked up much, I'm sure, the state you see things have been at since the beginning with these changing of the guard elections, as we call them here, and, of course, the two-party system. I mean, it sheds a new light on it once you've learned about all of this, I'm sure, Mike. But, I'm sure you've questioned the current political situation even before coming across all of this at the National Archives and elsewhere.
Well, you know, if we want to look at it, Richard, objectively, you know, we had Washington's administration, and then Washington John Adams becomes president of the United States. And so the Federalist Party is still in control, not only of the executive, but also of the legislative. And they're still in control until 1798. Of course, they were in control then. But in 1798, the Federalist Party is catching so much flack because of what Alexander Hamilton had been doing, you know, with all of the debt and everything he was accumulating. You know, the Whiskey Rebellion, which was directly caused by Alexander Hamilton because he taxed the poor farmer, put a tax on the poor farmer, and did not put a tax on the large distilleries. So how can you tax whiskey and only tax the small farmers and not tax the large distilleries? Well, one of the largest distillery owners in that time frame happened to be George Washington. So he was operating a distillery with no tax. And yet he and Hamilton lead an army into Pennsylvania to enforce the whiskey tax on what is in relative what you might call the middle class or the lower class. And so we look at these things, and most people are unaware of this, Richard. I'm sorry, but most people don't know anything about it because they sure aren't taught about it in school.
Certainly. They're not taught about it in school. Yes, I mean, it's hard to even find any records of any of this by design.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and it's, we look at this, and, you know, these letters, that was the thing that, Richard, that first turned me on when I started finding these letters in the National Archives in 1982. And I got to admit, when I first began to see the letters between these people we call founders, I was stunned. Because it wasn't anything I had learned in high school or college. And I was just absolutely stunned at these letters. You know, especially when you get a letter from James Madison to George Washington telling him, look, we have to create a government here to where the states will only have any power as long as they're subordinately useful to the federal government. Well, that's exactly what we have today. The states have no authority. You know, we had that deal with the Missouri and their Second Amendment Protection Act, and it was overruled by a federal judge who said very simply, oh, well, okay, well, no, the Supremacy Clause overrules the Bill of Rights. Now, he didn't say it overrules the Bill of Rights, but he said it overrules the Second Amendment. So if it overrules the Second Amendment, it overrules all of them. And ironically, the Second Amendment is the one that says shall not be infringed. But yet people still, you know, run and pay a government to allow them to do what they already have a right to do. That shows you how well indoctrinated the people in this country are.
Indeed. And yeah, I mean, it's therefore, I mean, again, elections, I mean, anything regarding local elections, I mean, can have, yeah, even less still enthusiasm for knowing just how subordinate each municipality is to the larger one encapsulating it.
Well, Richard, which one of the Marxists was it? Was it Marx or Stalin or you know, one of those people who made the statement, I care not who casts the vote. I care only who counts them. Well, you know, that just fits in perfectly with America today. But if we want to go back to a huge discussion at the Constitutional Convention, and none other than Luther Martin, the attorney general, if you will, from the state of Maryland at the time, he made the comment. He said, look, we cannot have elections for federal officers where the federal government counts the votes. This should never be allowed to happen. The people, if the people cast the votes, the people should count the votes, you know, by committee or whatever they want to do, but they should be the only ones. There should be no federal interference with counting the votes. But the way it was laid out, Richard, and we've seen this, the 2020 election, you know, and then, you know, the thing that was just amazing to me was the 2000 election when the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in and told Florida to stop counting votes. And, you know, the thing about it was, is because the Republicans won that election with George W. Bush, they didn't complain. And that is, if America is ever going to recover itself, you're going to have to complain about perversions of your rights, even if it benefits you. But ironically, in human nature, that very seldom happens. But the entire country should have been up in arms in 2000 when the Supreme Court said, no, Florida, you got to quit counting votes. You know, something about hanging chads or some other ridiculous thing. But you can't tell people not to count votes. Now, what's the difference in the Supreme Court doing that? And then we got the 2020 election. It was obviously a fraud. So what's the difference?
Indeed. Here we have the music.
Yes, sir.
Great.
I heard it.
We'll be right back then. Stick around, folks.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey and Michael Gaddy here. And, you know, Mike, how are we going to be able to take Mr. Petty's advice? I mean, how are we capable of not living like a refugee?
Well, I don't think there's any way at this time, Richard, and you know, it really saddens me as I look at it, because I'm not a young fellow anymore, and I look around at America, and the thing that bothers me so much is the fact that I know that you know, somewhere down the line here, this thing is going to get really bad, and I've got kids and grandkids, and I really, you know, almost on a daily basis, I shudder to think what they're going to have to go through. Because I mean, let's just look. How much has America changed in the last 25, 30 years? And it hasn't been for the better, has it? And I'm sorry, Richard, go ahead, sir.
No, certainly has not. Yeah, I mean, that I can certainly testify to all too well. I mean, because that's exactly, you know, my era. I mean, I'm right now I'm, 47. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I was about, you know, just, what, about 17 or so, 30 years ago. And that's, you know, certainly an era then that I've seen all the changes. I can't believe how much just in my lifetime, sir, things have changed.
Well, you know, Blackbird 9 and I were talking recently, maybe on one of the programs that we do called Blackball Spooks, but we were talking about, you know, the various things that we see changing, you know, that have been changing over the time. But also the other thing, in the intelligence field, you are constantly taught to look for patterns. Because, you know, that old thing that George Santayana said, you know, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat its mistakes. Well, you know, folks, when you start out on a trip, why do you get a roadmap? Why do you look at a map? Why do you look at a GPS? because you need some background information that's been out there before so you can understand if you're going to a new state or a new town. You need directions to get there. We should look at our own history the same way. And when you begin to see patterns that end up in pure despotism and tyranny, and you know, and nothing to me strikes home better about this fact right now, Richard, than does the case that we have with all of these illegal immigrants in this country. And you take it back and parallel it to 1860, when there were actually legions, shouldn't use the word legion, but actually units within the Union Army that didn't even speak English. And so, and they were taking anyone. They took Union Army took people out of jail. They took criminals. They took whoever to put them in a uniform. They didn't care. And today, you know, we had, we had Richard Durbin a month or so ago, senator from Illinois, come out and proclaim we need to, these allergies are bad. We had Richard Durbin proclaim to everyone, we need to get these immigrants into the U.S. military. We're having recruiting problems. We need to get them all in there with a guarantee of citizenship. Well, that's in essence what Abraham Lincoln did in 1860 before he invaded the South. Put tens and tens, well, actually hundreds of thousands of people, some of which, as I said before, couldn't even speak English. And he put them into the army and invaded his own countrymen in the South. And we're beginning to see the same thing. Durbin says we need to do it 2 days later. You know, what's his name? I can't think of it right now. Mark Levin. There we go. But Mark Levin comes out and says the same thing. He says, we need to get back to the principles of Abraham Lincoln because look what Lincoln did. Lincoln put these people in uniform and gave them citizenship. So if, and I've said this and I'll stand by it, folks, we're going to see a time, I may not live through it, but we're going to see a time where we've got these illegal immigrants marching down the streets of America wearing U.S. military uniforms, carrying weapons that the government won't allow you to own.
I believe it. Yeah. I mean, we also are seeing so many parallels, though, with the cultural revolution, really.
Yes.
Yeah, that, I mean, not so much, well, it's used commonly for China's back in, what, the 60s. But, I mean, I'm thinking of the Bolshevik sort of tactics that we had overseas. And, you know, so, well, Stephen suggests that, you know, that was the second Bolshevik onslaught. And that what you described, sir, over here was the first one. It is these international agendas, I think, is the common factor with everything. Let's pick that up on the other side, sir.
All right, got you, buddy.
We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best. And we'll help make it. It's called The Death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you.
We are back, folks. Beyond the official narrative. Here on Republic Broadcasting. And this is Richard Carey with our roundtable. And we've been... so far, chatting with Mr. Michael Gaddy, a very renowned researcher, and we're honored to have him as a host on RBN here, for that matter, if I haven't pointed out just the value to RBN, having someone who's had such a difficult-to-attain research about the founding of this nation, as well as of the War of Northern Aggression. Or as some call it, the Civil War era in this nation. Just how much we've been lied to, how many documents and viewpoints have been hidden from us. But I'd like to shift gears here, Mike. You know, someone else I managed to get to join us during the show tonight, a close associate from overseas, who's been a co-host with me for a lot of years. I wanted to introduce the two of you. So Michael Gaddy, this is Paul Edward Stevenson, and he's an Irishman. He's over in the UK. Paul, hey, good evening, and glad you were able to make it.
Well, it's great to be with you, Richard, and I apologize because I just saw your message, and I think the clocks have changed there. I presume this has caught me out, I believe, because otherwise. Or what is the
yes.
issue?
Yeah. I never remember that. Yeah, it happens here like 2 weeks or so before over by you, I want to say. Yeah, or at least
yeah,
one.
And the clocks go forward though, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it went forward 1 hour. And then when does it change for you? It changes,
I think it's another 2 weeks. But I would have thought if it goes forward for you, I don't know. Does that mean I would have thought that meant that you were an hour later? No.
No. No, that would be when it goes back. So yeah, it went forward. So yeah, we started an hour earlier than you would expect on your clock. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I often get it mixed up. I was like, yeah, telling my wife the opposite was going to happen this year. And so sometimes the last second in your mind, you can just.
Suddenly you become an hour closer to us, which means that the show is 11 p.m. my time, because it's only 5 hours central difference instead of six.
I think in the Midwest, there's some states that don't change for half the year. It can make it confusing. I don't know. Some parts of the world might not change at all. I mean, so yeah, you really have to know where you are. And everyone could at least do the same thing. But so I wanted to introduce you if you haven't had a chance. Mike Gaddy, you've heard me mention him, but I don't know if have you met this guy spoke before?
No, we haven't done a show together, Mike, I don't think. I mean, unless you remember, we've done a round table at some point because we've done a few of those over the months and years. But okay. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, I don't think so. And it's certainly a pleasure to be on the program with you, sir. But I was going through my memory, and I don't remember. I've been on some roundtables, but I don't remember you being there, sir, when I was. And again, I was looking forward to this. Richard gave me a call yesterday morning, and he said you would be here. I was looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, well, me too. So, it'll be interesting. And I'm glad I didn't leave it any later because, as I said, you know, Richard, I've been looking forward to the show this evening. So, I mean, as you know, when I'm in Italy, it's a lot more difficult for me, but I'm back here and for the meantime, so that just confuses it more because it's like another time difference. But
Well, guys, every time I think about this time change, I think about when they did it back in the 70s, and some Indian chief up in Montana, I think it was, said, "Well, isn't that just like a white man thinks he can chop off one piece of a blanket and sew it on the other end and have a bigger blanket?"
I like that.
Yeah.
Quite a way to put it.
It was exactly point on. Why they go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
It just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, you mentioned, I'm not sure. I think there's some places in Indiana, I'm not sure whether they still don't change time or not, but I know Arizona does not, unless you are at a federal facility. You know, if you're at the Grand Canyon or some other federal property in Arizona, they change time, but the rest of the state does not, which makes it even more ludicrous.
Even a federal building, I presume.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, Paul, as I said, you know, Michael Gaddy, well, I should give you a little background. I mean, Mike actually worked for the legendary No Such Agency, the National Security Agency, NSA. And he was there from the mid-60s to the mid-80s. And now he had ultimately uncovered, you know, through the National Archives firsthand and ultimately some elsewhere, too. I mean, you know, a lot of information. Category in particular is private personal correspondence letters, you know, between a lot of these men of the founding fathers era of the U.S. and also of the Civil War, so-called Civil War, War of Northern Aggression, as the Southerners like to call it. But it really reveals a lot, you know, what the real motives were of these men, the issues they had with each other, the underhandedness. And it just reveals, it turns out, very few of them, you know, had the sort of intent we all assumed all of them did, basically. You know, very few. I mean, it almost seems like you could count on one hand from what I've heard at this point. That's pretty, you know, stark, you know, from each era there. And basically before the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, before any of that, I mean, was at least the closest we had to the sort of freedoms that we seem to assume that we have after these documents. So early on, of course, we had the Articles of Confederation. But so, I mean, Mike's done a lot of research ever since he left this legendary government agency of, well, nefarious intent, I might suggest. But nonetheless, As far as Paul here, Mike, I mean, I met him shortly after I started doing radio. I mean, I started radio in 2016. The following year, I invited him on my show. I saw he was a host on Revolution Radio, and I wanted to network, you know, with other people, have some other hosts as some of my guests. And I liked what he had to say. You know, I mean, we've been collaborating ever since and on each other's. I mean, when I had my own platform, I had him as a host, you know, on the my own station, Revision Media, when I was streaming on there, for example, for a couple of years. You know, he was one of my live hosts. I was producing on there, you know, like I was his board op and all that. And yeah, and now he's a host on RBN along with myself, as well as you, Mike. So
I think that's fantastic, Richard. I really do. And if I may ask, Paul, I was at Revolution Radio one time myself as well. When were you there, sir?
It was 2016, I think, and then I was still on there in 17. And as Richard said, him and I's broadcasting careers are pretty sort of inextricably linked. That's fair enough to say, Richard.
I like that. Yes.
I forget. Yeah, then I was on Renegade Broadcasting with Richard, and then we did some stuff. I was, like he said, a host on Revision Media, and then I was a co-host with you here, Richard, and then I've had my own show. And and I don't know, probably I remember I sort of missed those days a little bit, sort of around, well, for me personally, everybody's different, but I kind of missed those days around 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, when I did all the sort of foundational work, I think, in my own kind of worldview.
Right.
You know, and then, and I sometimes would like to get back to that, you know, because we can, I'm maybe more guilty of it than anybody. I would like not to be sometimes where we get swayed around by every, you know, news story that breaks on a Tuesday afternoon. And again, it's, you know, on a Friday, you're off to the races with something else. I mean, obviously, they're all tend to fit into the worldview, but I think it's good to sometimes stand back and, you know, go over those sort of foundational documents or books that you've read. I remember reading a lot of, for example, Eustace Mullins' books, which at the time they cost me a lot of money. And I still have a lot of them, but they were. And I don't agree with everything Eustace says, but you know, he was a trailblazer, and there was, you know, there's a foundational, you know, not knowledge with him and things like the Federal Reserve, and particularly the Federal Reserve, that book he wrote on the Federal Reserve Act, but also, you know, the rape of justice and all those types of things. But it was, anyway. To answer your question, yeah, it was about 2015 till about 2017, 18, I was at Revolution Radio.
Well, yes, sir. Was there a host there when you were there called himself the Mechanic?
I can't remember. I can't remember at all. But I used to do a two-hour show on that show, and it was pretty much 90% of the time I didn't have guests on, right. which is harder than you think. to constantly cover content for 2 hours, but again, it's sort of, I think it gives you, you know, it's your kind of like your own schooling in terms of your own foundational knowledge. You know, repetition is very important, going over the same things over again, you know, until they're in there.
Right, and the reason I brought up the Mechanic, he was I always liked him, and we had talked 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago about doing a project together, and then I didn't hear from him, and then I found out that this past weekend he had a very serious heart attack, and he passed away yesterday.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry to hear that. Also, of course, Hawk, he was the network owner, and I got on very well with him. He was a crazy kind of a guy in a nice way. I don't say that, you know, in a negative way. You know, he was just, you know, again, a bit of a trailblazer and outspoken, but he passed away as well. You know, I think,
yes.
You know, I was quite shocked by it because I'd only been speaking to him on Skype probably like 3 or 4 days before he passed away.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, you know, I hate it when we lose these warriors for rightful liberty. You know, the people who will stand up regardless of what other people are saying, you know, they're going to stand up and they're going to fight for what's right. And, yeah. You know, we can't afford to lose too many of those people in our group.
No. Well, over here, the problem, of course, is you're more inclined to lose someone to go into prison.
Yes, I know.
Recently, there was another guy from Patriotic Alternative imprisoned for 2 years. He's a young guy. I'm not even sure if he's 40 yet, but Sam Melia, who has 2 children, he's just had a young child, second young child that was born, and he was imprisoned, and it was even in the according to the Crime Prosecution Service, it was his role in it, you know, what he did was largely innocuous. But from what I understand, the judge sentenced him anyway as a deterrent to make an example of him for, you know, for other people. And this country is getting very increasingly precarious. I increasingly mention it because it is. You know, even recently, in the past week, you've had the British government, partly in response to George Galloway, a kind of a democratic black swan event that occurred, and it didn't fit their definition and the kind of democracy that they like, this facade of parliamentary democracy that they and their ultimate controllers love to, you know, impose on all of us, and to demonize any other system of governance as autocratic or authoritarian. Well, you know, they have come out this week and decided to give us a definition of extremism. Now, I spoke to Patrick Slattery about this yesterday, and it's not legally binding in terms of imprisonment, for example, but we already have very aggressive, in quotes, hate speech laws here, and this is not only a further attack on free speech, but this really is an attack on any kind of political organization, which is a threat to the status quo from these establishment people who, by the way, in my lifetime, in one generation, I'm still in my 40s, so it's not that long, have irrevocably altered the demographics of Europe and my country. And they have the temerity to talk about and call people like Patriotic Alternative extremists.
Yes.
So they have defined, you know, basically using language manipulation to attempt, and this is a kind of a really a camel, the camel's nose under the tent in terms of completely clamping down on any kind of political opposition. And yet, if you read their statements, they do this, you know, Orwellian style, in defense of democracy and our freedom and our human rights, and of course tolerance. But as they basically mention 5 groups, including in the British Parliament, they actually mention Patriotic Alternative by name. This is an organization I've been involved with and actually give a speech at. So it does make you nervous, you know,
big time. Certainly understandable. This is kind of hard, I think, for most people to understand. But, you know, history tells me, as being a student of history, it tells me that the actual freedom, or what I like to refer to as rightful liberty, and government cannot exist on the same plane. Because government, the very opponent of government is an individual. So you can't allow... You can't allow an individual to have a voice. And government is designed, even in a letter, you know, just a few years before his death, Thomas Jefferson wrote to James Madison and said, you know, this is a huge mistake, what's happened here.
Yeah.
Here comes the music, guys.
Well, we'll stick around, folks, in the last segment, and then hour two to come. Don't go anywhere.
Now I know it's over, but you're on your own. Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with Michael Gaddy and Paul Edward Stevenson. And yeah, Mike, I mean, I don't know if in like the second hour you have any questions for Paul about just the climate or, you know, the perception of the average person he encounters over in his neck of the woods there, you know, as far as Europe or UK specifically. And I don't know. I mean, well, we're hearing such a clampdown on free speech in a lot of European nations, really, and in Canada right now, trying to pass more hate speech legislation that could land you in prison for life in some cases. It's just, you know, pretty insane up there as well. But so I'm always wary, even though Paul's, you know, broadcasting overseas to here. And everything. No, we never know when he could get in trouble for something, you know. But, you know, I mean, well, certainly, I mean, we see, and, well, Paul's never been one to shy away from the internationalist involvement in all of these agendas and the thing that common thread we have in common with our overseas brethren. And when he talks about patriotic alternative and who's really clamping down on them, you know, I mean, we have, well, some people will talk about more the left side of the right side of the coin only. But I mean, we know that there's a certain common theme. I don't know. We're almost out of time for this hour. And I know we may have someone else managing to join who wasn't able to join on the hour either. It's coming up. So that might add to the directions we could take things.
Sure.
But I don't know. Okay, great. Great. Well, yeah, we could maybe take things from there. My having pointed those things out to you and see where you gentlemen want to take the discussion from that in the next hour. I don't know. Was there something you'd like to say now, Mike? I mean, there's just about a minute before the break here.
Well, I tell you what, I think I count it a real pleasure to be able to be on the program with Paul. I haven't had this opportunity before. And, you know, if not to sound like a, you know, a party pooper, but I would really like to hear what he has to say about where he thinks the world is going. I know we're looking at those things, but if you want to talk about some strange anti-First Amendment speech, guys, the governor of South Dakota just aced it this past week. And I mean, you can't say anything in the state of South Dakota about a Jew or you're in big trouble.
Yeah, well, I was just going to mention that very thing in your own country. What's her name? Kristi Noem?
Yes.
Isn't she in line to be, you know, maybe Trump's running mate as well? And like you said, this law will, you know, this will outlaw any anti-Israel, anti-Zionism, and throw that in there with anti-Semitism.
Big time. Yes, sir. Sounds like we got the music there, Richard.
Yes, sir. Well, stick around, gentlemen, and look forward to the second hour. And please support RBN, folks. Go to that donate page, republicbroadcasting.org, and help keep this alive. We'll be back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.